Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
We at Fatanize pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land. Is this thing on? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fatanize podcast. I'm your host, Demi Lynch, and welcome to another week where we discuss the issues and topics related to the world of being a fat bitch. We are here today with entrepreneur, model, Betty Otho. Hello, my dear. Thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me, Demi. I think I can't help it as somebody who's a proud FAT. Can't wait for the chat we're about to have. And hello, fellow beautiful, fabulous FAT women out there.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you here because you have just been strutting your stuff and owning the gorgeous self that you are on so many runways and so many brands. And I'm so keen to have you here because you're also going to be here for the live show when we go to Melbourne Fashion Festival in early March. So that'll be exciting.
Yes, can't wait. We'll be live and everybody will, I'm sure, be all over our little area that we'll have in Fashion Week. So yeah, if you didn't know about it, where have you been? You need to make sure you're there and be able to join our conversation live. But this is going to be a nice little taster for everybody, I guess, Demi.
Yeah, this is like, yeah, a little intro, a little, yeah, beginning of what we will be talking about more further in the live show. Yes.
Love it.
For people that don't know the incredible work you're doing right now in the plus size space and also with your entrepreneurial work as well, I want to firstly talk about the amazing work you're doing in the fashion industry as a plus size model. So you were part of the first ever Curve Edit runway at last year's Fashion Festival. And you're yet again part of another incredible runway, which is the Fat Runway. Tell me what all that means to you. Because as someone that is a black fat woman, what does all that mean to you? Finally seeing representation in the fashion industry, in the fashion world.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I've always known that everything about me is super fabulous in every way possible. So I think as someone who's gone around this world, people questioning why I'm so confident, I kind of have always loved style. I always turn up looking amazing. And I think one thing I've always noticed, people like, wow, you're super confident. Like, it's always this underlying, like, why do you look good type of comment. And why are you so fashionable given your size and given how society sees you? And, you know, growing up in Australia, it didn't also help that not only were the representations that I saw the same race as me in any shape or form, but also not the same size as me. And if you think beauty standards and how we, it's all based on where you're represented. I was represented nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was all my beautiful size 6, tall, skinny South Sudanese models who are gorgeous, by the way. But that doesn't mean that we are all the same and we all look the same. So even when I thought I was about to be represented, I wasn't. So to be represented in those spaces really came from me going, well, there's no one else like me that I see that represents me. So I've always been this person who looks to break barriers. So I kind of see, I saw it as a challenge. Am I challenge accepted? But it took me to leave Australia to go to London and see myself represented everywhere. I don't know if anyone on this podcast has been to London, but you walk in and as a, you know, plus size Black woman, you're represented everywhere. You're not like, you know, and you're like, wow, these people think I'm beautiful. But not only are you represented everywhere, people walk up to you. I got scouted 5 times walking around in London by
different.
Because apparently I just look like a striking, tall, curvy model to them. And they wanted me in their agency. So when I came back to Australia, I was like, well, damn Australia, why do I have to leave you to feel like I'm beautiful? And you know what? That amazing feeling I felt walking into London and seeing myself represented in all these media images and campaigns, I was like, Australia needs a bit of pizzazz. And I'm like, who better to do it than me, who loves to break barriers? I break barriers in every space I go into. What's fashion? Let's add it to the list. So I did that. I went in, I decided to represent myself to hopefully represent others, because if you have to sometimes be the change that you don't see. So that's what I try to do. And to then have the opportunity to then be in these changing firsts of many firsts to come. The Curve Edition runway through Bella Management, and I had just been signed by Bella and they got me straight in there. And then to be in, you know, upcoming runways and also ones that aren't necessarily always been for plus size has been amazing. It's been what I wanted to see, but I wasn't seeing. So I forced myself to be in those amazing positions and hoping to just see more of it. So it feels amazing. It really does.
That's awesome. I love that so much. And what you say about London is so incredibly true. Like, people think that, oh, Australia, we're slowly getting more progressive. Or, you know, you hear the conservatives say, we're becoming so woke. It's actually, no, Australia is actually so far behind when it comes to representation. It is shocking. So, I
really need to do better. And I don't know who we're comparing ourselves to. I think it's because we're so multicultural that you're like, yeah, but no one actually talks about like how that's actually represented through the different, the different things that make up a country. And I think Australia's really missing out. It's only scraping and people need to really just push the fact that it's really not good enough. Just keep it going. You're only scraping the surface, Australia, and you haven't harnessed the amazing diversity in every shape, form, and size that is within your capability to do so. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're literally just scraping like the touch of the surface of like some incredible communities in Australia, particularly marginalized communities and people of color, like that need their representation and need to be like at the top, at the forefront. Particularly the media, which is just full of skinny white people all the time. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you know what? No one is saying one is better than the other. Mm. We're just saying by representing us, you're not going to lose out on not representing others. Like, representation for me matters because we're not saying replace us with who you have there, because they're beautiful too. Mm-hmm. We're saying we're beautiful too, and we want you to use social media for good, not to make people feel excluded, different. We already live in a world that people feel that way. Use social media for good, and it'll be good for so many people around you. Think about, you know, your bestie, your sister, who doesn't want to feel included and loved? And we haven't always felt that way, and we definitely have to really fight our own confidence. I mean, people say, how did you become so confident? I said it's because, damn, it's a lot of work. Because if I look at where you look for confidence, media, sometimes men, sometimes, you know, your partner or whatever it is, really you're holding on to the little confidence that you can build as a plus size you know, in my case, Black woman as well. So there's so many intersectionalities that really tells you, if I look at social, if social media was my only place to look for confidence, Demi, God, I would be not where I am now. I really have to quite internally and find and stick to my own beliefs. And what I know is that, damn, I look good. And damn, when I put on an outfit, everyone compliments me. Skinny, big. When you look good, you look good.
Yes, yes, love that. Yes. So when you did start in the modeling scene in Australia, like after you came back from London and you're just like, damn, I am a hot bitch. I've been scouted by 5 people just by going to London. Like, I deserve to be on the runways in Australia, because we are so behind and we're still very conservative and we just seem to all be about skinny white people at the forefront of everything. What was it then like trying to insert yourself into Australia's fashion industry? Like, you know, I know you're with Bella Management right now, who's just absolutely amazing. They do so much for plus size people. And what was it like trying at the very beginning though, like, you know, trying to find representation, trying to find people that have clothes that cater to plus size people? What was that like at the beginning?
Yeah, I would say timing is everything. I came back to Australia, perfect timing, when Australia decided to start being woke. But I was discovered by, you know, approaching People Agency. And People Agency have this amazing mantra where when I put up an Instagram and just went looking for agencies, they said, yeah, come straight away. I met Agnieszka, who is the founder there. And essentially she said, we love your look and that's it. And I said, oh, okay. So I'm like, you know, would you put me in the plus size size? And she's like, no, you're just a fashion model. Like,
oh, and I love that
because they don't do categorizations. Mm. And I have to really do a shout out to People Management, because that's where I started. Mm. I started because essentially what would happen is I would get put into the same shortlist. When a client asks for anything, I'm looking for models, you know, she would just put me straight in there and just be like, if they like you, they like you. And I think starting off that way really helped. And when I did meet clients, obviously, you know, my first ever runway, I opened the show because the stylist fell in love. And he's like, hey, I don't know if you've done runway before, but you're opening my show. You know, shout out to
yes.
He knows who he is. But essentially, you know, some of the things that I have come up, the barriers that I've come up against is, you know, amazing to be just thrown in those spaces. Mm. But some of those spaces weren't asking for me and I've just kind of been thrown in there and somebody's gone, ooh, different is good, and they've brought me on. I think, like with everything, when you're trying to be more inclusive, it's not end to end. So you may want something different. So you bring me on board and you want me to model, but then it doesn't feed through. You haven't really looked at your sizing, mm-hmm. or you put me into something that is way too big for me because you saw my size as a big size. So you didn't really think about how that complements my body. So I've been in campaigns where they just chuck me into the big size and I don't feel beautiful, because if you do look at us plus size women, we know how to dress these sexy bodies that we have. Yep. And we love to accentuate our curves. But these fashion, again, it's this whole element of I want difference without looking at what difference looks like. So it's half-assed, very half-assed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I've come up against that for sure, Demi. And then there's also been the scenarios where people are like, oh my God, we're so happy to have you and we've created this specially for you. But again, half us, why would you have to create an outfit for me? Do you not sell my size? Number one, there's nothing special about you creating me an outfit if you don't sell it in your stores. Mm-hmm. So don't feel special or think that I should feel special for, I don't. If anything, you look like an idiot. Yep. And false advertising. So I have definitely come up against that and kind of looked and just given this face like half-assed again. You don't sell my size, but you want to debut a plus-size Black woman and create something for her and then you're giving the people I'm trying to represent false advertisement of who you really are, because you don't actually have the sizes. So, yes. what I have seen is everybody wants to jump on the diversity bandwagon because they feel like they have to. And like I see it in the work I do with diversity and inclusion with organizations and corporates, it's half-assed. You want the diversity because you think it's now a need and a want to have, but you don't understand how to cater for it fully. It's the same with models with disability that I've seen come on the runway. They haven't thought about how a person with disability who is in a wheelchair or anything like that, how will they do? And I've seen them be frustrated, and a shout out to them who have to face even more barriers within this fashion industry. But I've seen how it hasn't been thought out well from the beginning to the top of what it means to have a person who's different to what you've always catered for. Just by having them is not enough. Mm-hmm. Think about their experiences, ask them, make sure they're comfortable, and make sure you're not trying to make them fit into a mold. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're celebrating what they're about, their beautiful bodies, and creating outfits for them that are stylish, number one. Mm-hmm. Make them stylish, because ain't nobody trying to cover all these curves, honey.
Yes, I hate the assumption with some brands. They just think like, oh, because you're fat, you want to cover all your arms, you want to cover your belly, you want to cover your thighs. And it's just like, no, I want to show that shit off. And I get 1,000% what you mean with brands just half-assing it. That's why I think it's so important that brands, instead of just like making yourself look woke just so you can be on the bandwagon of wokeness or whatever, have someone in your team and actually collaborate with you and get their opinions, get their thoughts, work with them. Like people, like an example I've been using a lot lately is with Dangerfield. They collaborated with Jamie Nicole, and I even called out Dangerfield because they basically, what happened was they took away their plus size, and then they put it, and they took away their plus sizes, which caused a lot of chaos and a lot of on social media. But then they brought a plus size person in and collaborated with them so that they can properly cater the plus size community. So it's just like, that's what businesses and brands need to do. Like actually put in the effort, put in the time, and also pay the plus size people, pay the marginalized communities for giving you that time and energy.
More, Demi, because mm-hmm. we're being more vulnerable. We are making it work. You know, you're not doing us a favor. So I speak to my agency about saying no to brands that don't align to my values. My values about inclusion. Mm-hmm. So if I can see that brand wants me, there's an element of tokenism is huge in the fashion industry. Oh, Betty's a triple whammy. She's plus size and she's dark skinned. Bring her in. And then when I look at all of your staff, you don't hire any plus size staff, you don't have any people of color working for you, and your market is purely for white women. Mm-hmm. Also sometimes just skinny white women. It's mind-boggling. You're not doing anyone a favor. Please do not hire me if that's you. I don't need it as well. People also don't understand that although I'm a fashion model and I'm fabulous and I will come and I will work, us fashion models, plus size ones, also are like any other fashion model. We turn it on when we need to. We come and work and we make and sell your brand. It's not a coincidence that when I put on an outfit and I'm in front of fashion festival, I am the cover, because I will wear the shit out of anything you give me.
Yes. And I will... I love
it. My confidence, they can see it. That's what people will buy. So don't get it twisted. You're not doing me a favor by having me there. I'd rather you not have me there. Do the full work and really be about who you say you're about. And don't ever think that you're doing us fashion models like, we know how to work. We will walk on your runway and work that outfit, but make sure it looks good on us. Like I have favorite stylists in runways because I'm a plus size model. I'm a bit more sweatier. I can't wear those skinny heels, but I will always be remembered on the runway if you give me and listen to what I need, because you're not just bringing me in there to not be comfortable, be wearing something that is just extra you haven't thought about. How am I selling your clothes? Don't you want that new market? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to make more money? So yeah, I could talk about this all day, Demi, because it's legit.
I love it. Yes. I love it. I love your passion and attitude for it, I have to say. It's just literally like, oh, what's the phrase? It's just like, I'm not going to deal with any shit. Like, no, we do not have time and energy for this. And I love it.
For me, I'm not one of those drama. I'll always communicate what I need because you haven't had models like me around, so I'll communicate it always in a respectful way. I'm here to work, and just like employee benefits, and you go into work and you tell your manager what you need to help you be successful in the workplace, I will also communicate in a respectful, clear way. I'm not a model with any attitude. If anything, anyone has ever worked with me falls in love with me because I have, for me, workplace is about respect. Me turning up in the runway fashion campaign, I will always come in respect, but I will also state and want you to also be trying to learn and be better. And that's how we will make real change happen. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, no, I love that. It's definitely, it's a two-way street. Like, you know, they have to respect you as a model and what you represent. And yeah, and you will do the same for them, and you will help them sell their shit. Yep, absolutely. Period. Yes.
And I
see why you also start, like, have also gone down the entrepreneurial route, because you got your company as well, Div Tao, which literally does what you're so passionate about, which is talking to businesses and being like, hey, maybe get some representation in there. Tell the listeners, give them a better explanation, because my explanation was not the best. But tell the listeners, why, how did that come about then? Because you're already, also time as well. How did you manage to have time to do that? Because you have really put yourself in the fashion industry in Australia and have just done so amazing. How did the company of yours, Div Tao, how did that come about while you're in the
Well, I am a fashion model second, even more casually. If you ask me who I am, I would say I wear three hats. So I am a 9-to-5 HR manager, and I work for the work in government in the commission.
How do you have time? Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. Well, balance out all the things I love by, you know, utilizing my, you know, entitlements and taking a day off. If I think the shoot is worth it, I always try to look for weekend shoots, or, you know, do take half days if I need to, or look at compressed working, but trying to just balance out my life. So I've always been a HR person. So I'm a HR professional with over 10 years of HR experience. And then secondly, I am the co-founder of an online job platform called DivTal, stands for Diverse Talent. And that essentially was born out of my own experiences of not being able to get into the corporate world and find my HR role, because difference was not really seen as a way into corporate spaces when I tried to get in after graduating. And when I did get in, I only got into a diversity program, and always kind of vouched that, why does it have to be that way? Once I am a seasoned HR professional, I'm going to try and change things. So that's what I've done with my co-founder, Lorna, who's another South Sudanese woman, beautiful woman, who also is a HR practitioner. And we met and created DivTal. It's all about exactly what we were talking about today, going into these organizations and these monumental decision-making organizations to say, hey, maybe your decision-making needs a bit of representation and diversity, so it's not so shit, essentially. And that's what, you know, DivTal is all about. It's all about helping organizations, mostly corporate organizations, where the decisions are made, you know, to look at diversifying their teams in head office, in corporate roles. So then you can create new markets, you can create new products, you can have reach your bottom line, and really also allow a lot of diverse candidates get into careers that they haven't always been represented in. I've always been that person in those rooms, and there's usually only me through my HR career, and I want to change that because it's not nice being the only one there. It's cool because everyone remembers you, but it ain't that cool because everyone always remembers you. I may not remember who you are, but you'll always remember me. One of the benefits of being the tall plus size girl in those corporate spaces, but it needs to change. And that's what I love to do. And that's my bread and butter and my passion. And I've just bought into the fashion industry because I love fashion. And also, I also want to break barriers in the fashion industry. It's not nice being a model coming into your campaigns and seeing that not one of your staff members look like me, or your clients look like me. So it's a big call out to the fashion industry. If you want to also be looking at changing your team so you can create better campaigns, better markets, acquire new market segments, because 51% of the Australian population is now has one parent born overseas. Mm-hmm. Still, if you're interested in, and you know what, I mean, the fashion industry is exclusive, Demi. It is so exclusive.
Really?
And you know, it's exclusive because you've got your famous photographers, you've got your famous creative directors, and they're the ones managing a lot of these campaigns. And it's fantastic because they do a fantastic job. It's not about that. It's about diversifying that pool so you have a wider segment, because, you know, groupthink is a real thing. And it's not a coincidence that all the creative people live in the same spaces, hang out in the same spaces, and have similar thinking. Like, let's bring in the people who aren't the creative directors. I love the representation of LGBTQI plus within the fashion industry, and women, love it. But always ask yourself who's not in those rooms, and that needs to be. When you walk around Australia, it's not only those two groups. We need more First Nations people in those spaces. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the ones in those spaces, and also people of color. I know so many young multicultural creatives who are, if you go to London, they are the groundbreaking cultural change making people in London.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they are all around Australia, and they are the new Gen Z market who love and are creatives. Start hiring them, fashion industry. Start changing the Australian fashion world, because they're just waiting. All of them are all entrepreneurs. None of them are in these spaces. They all create their own businesses and just do it within their own community. That's not good enough. We need them out in where, you know, there's a wider change impact, and really change and create just more diversity in one of the most diverse spaces and industries that you can think of. Mm-hmm. But it's not. So I love what I do. And it's all, if you think about it, it's all kind of aligned, isn't it, Demi? Like,
it does. It really aligns so well. It's kind of like what you do right now. It was like you were, it sounds weird, you were like made to do it, because you start off with HR and then, yeah, modeling and your agency and your company. Like, it just all aligns so well, which is just, it's so great what you're doing. And I love so much you're just like, yeah, not afraid to call out the bullshit, call out the tokenism. I think because, yeah, Australia is just so far behind. So any businesses, especially people in the corporate world, like, really tune in, listen to this, like, tokenism crap. We can see it. We could see when you're just doing it just for, you know,
yeah,
just to look good. Like, we can see it. Like, put the effort in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry, hon. sorry, but this is giving tokenism, and it ain't cute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So another topic that I wanted to talk to you about, and I have a feeling that you are also going to be passionately invested in this topic as well, and it is about the body positivity movement and how it has seemed to be hijacked by skinny white women, even though the whole point of it was created for particularly Black trans women and also for other marginalized communities, disabled people, fat people, the LGBTQIA plus communities, immigrants. Like, as someone that is a Black plus size woman, what are your thoughts? Because all over TikTok, all over Instagram and all the socials, when you see the hashtag body positive, it always seems to be skinny white bitches. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts on the body positivity movement, I really think it's about building confidence where we exactly goes back to where I looked for confidence, Demi, when I started with this conversation. I kind of said I had nowhere to look for confidence because all the channels where you look for confidence, like social media or, you know, what people think and all of that came, you know, from people going, you don't fit in this box. So I really think that movement was started because of that exact same reason. When you have nowhere to look to, you create your own movement, you create your own spaces, you create your own table. And that table is never to take away from anybody else. I'm quite optimistic about, you know, really trying to create awareness about, it's not that we don't want to share the table, it's that we've never had our own table. Yeah. So let us have it. And we're not taking away from your story because your story matters too. And body positivity doesn't mean that we don't have positivity towards your body that is different to ours. It just means that no one has ever been positive about our body. So I always say that I try to educate and say, when I talk about this, I'm just trying to get my story out there because it hasn't always been heard.
Yeah.
And it's been its own struggle, but I'm not taking away from yours. So that's what I'd like to say, the body positivity movement. I think let's educate more of where it's coming from and find a sense of purpose and understanding and education. Yeah,
definitely. And I think just inform people about the history of the body positivity movement and understand that there's intersectionalities within it. And but I do like what you say though, like, yeah, don't just take inspiration from social media for your confidence. I do like that because I think I've done that a bit too much, and as you can sense, my bit of inner rage here, because I don't, yeah, you're being positive here, whereas I'm like, I got inner rage because I just like, yeah, I just see on social media, no. I just keep seeing these thin people who have bodies that are welcome in society, who don't get judged at the doctors, who can fit in an airplane, who can buy clothes at a shopping center, and I just see them, you know, I don't know, pulling at their skin and saying like, oh, I'm fat or something like that. And then they get given like these jobs and they get given these jobs that are all about body positivity, or you represent this body positivity thing. And it just, yeah, I need your attitude because your attitude is much better. You're just like, stop using social media for your inspiration for confidence. Whereas me, I'm still stuck in that little bubble.
Social media does need to do better, Demi. So I understand where your frustration's coming from for sure, because they should be looking to create more positive stories and having more diverse faces and more representation of, you know, difference.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that non-difference is bad. it's not different when it's what you've always seen. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, anyone who's out there listening to this, it's an educational piece. Sometimes you've gone through your own struggles and you've been told by telling somebody else who's different that you're better than them, that that's the way to go because it makes you feel better about yourself. Mm. It's not a fight. We're all in it together. We all come into this world and we've all had our journeys of being told we're different. Like, I believe there's an element of all of us, whether you have intersectionalities or not, that we've all felt different at some point of time. We've all felt fat at some point of time and been made feel bad about it, whether, you know, and I think that's where we need to come together and remember that feeling, right? And yeah. then be like, well, if I felt like that at that moment and time, how does this person feel most of their lives? From a place of empathy, because I'm all about aligning purpose and yeah. empathy, and that's the way forward. It's not us versus you, and it's only a movement because we want to be heard like any other movement, but it's not to take away from anybody. If anything, be an ally, you know, step back and see where it's coming from, and your story matters too, but how do we come together from a place of empathy? Yeah.
I love that. You're a literal, like, a walking TED Talk. I love it. Honey, yes. You need your, I understand everything you're doing right now. Like, you need a podcast. You need, like.
Done. Demi's going to get me a podcast.
Yes.
First, and that's it. But yeah, no, thank you, Demi. Mm-hmm. The truth is, I love conversations like this because communication and creating awareness is what will get us to a better place of understanding. So yeah. thank you for providing me the platform and thank you for having the platform. So you're definitely a part of it too.
So while I have you here, even though I know we could talk about all these issues for a very, very long time, although listeners, if you want more of this, make sure you then get some tickets for the live show in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
You are also going to be at Melbourne Fashion Festival for the Fat Runway. And we got a little preview of that at the Big Thick Energy event last weekend. Oh, please, please tell me about the event. I'm so jealous that I could not be there. It looked flipping amazing.
It was so much fun, Demi. We definitely had a full audience and the stage and the room was filled with FAT energy. So yeah, it was amazing. It was just a little snippet, a little sprinkle of the fabulosity that is about to happen on actual runway date. So yeah, it was such a good day. The weather came out for us the audience felt the energy, and yeah, we killed that stage. What can I say? There's some amazing designers there, amazing outfits. So check out their FAT Instagram page to just get to make you feel like you were there, but you could probably feel the energy through your screen if you have a look at some of the videos.
Yeah. If
you haven't bought a ticket, jump on the Fashion Festival links and make sure you grab yourself a ticket. It's going to be in Footscray Arts Centre, Arts Community Centre, and it is, I'm pretty sure, remind me of the day.
Saturday the 4th of March. What? And yeah, and it will be in the evening, but then the early afternoon will be our live show. So, you know, you get like a beautiful fat filled afternoon in Melbourne. Like, what could be better than that?
You're going to be full, and you know, full of energy. Yeah. So come in so your cuppa can be filled with energy that Saturday. So, you know, I think you've already literally just outlined somebody's day, I think, Demi.
Yeah. Make a day of it. Grab your friends and come along to it. Like, it's going to be, oh, so, so good. And just the photos that I saw of the runway, it's literally the opposite of what you were talking about earlier on of, like, what some of the brands do that when they obviously don't properly cater to fat people. Like, the clothes that the people are wearing, they're not just covering the whole bodies. They actually fit the bodies. They're showing off some skin. They're different. Like, oh, it's just
fun.
Gorgeous fashion.
And I've got some sexy outfits that I'll be wearing.
Yes.
Fell out in a minute after I walk my Demi, better believe it. But yes, come check out the amazing, amazing designers and outfits, and make sure that debit card is feeling ready to be spent. But yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. And speaking of outfits, like, most importantly, it's a fashion festival, baby. So get those outfits ready, because there's photographers left, right, and center. And that's a chance for you also, somebody who's coming and watching the event, to, you know, show us your FAT energy too, and the sexy outfit, fabulous, stylish outfit that you're going to get snapped in. So, you know, get those outfits ready, ladies. I know that's mm-hmm. the first.
Yes, during the Melbourne Fashion Festival, but particularly on that, I'm just going to call it Fat Saturday, particularly on that Fat Saturday, I'm going to be scoping around the place, and I'm going to be talking to some people, getting some photos, seeing what fabulous fat fashion there is. So yes, hopefully I will see you listeners there. But as we conclude today's podcast episode, which I'm sad we have to conclude it soon, Every single week with my guests, we share our fave fat-friendly find of the week, which is brands, businesses that actually properly cater to the plus-size community. So, my dear Betty, what is your fave fat-friendly find of the week?
Well, actually, like, I had to think about this, and I'm trying to think of what I found. I mean, I shop, and this is where, here's the thing. I have something to say about friendly find of the week, because mm-hmm. it's a little bit tricky, right? Because we go out looking for sustainable fashion, right? But mm-hmm. it's so hard to find as a plus size person.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation,
it
honey.
It is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I tend to find most of my outfits, little tricks. When I'm going out for a sexy night out, I'm definitely a pretty little thin girl. They cater to our bodies like a glove. They make us feel sexy and fabulous. And in terms of like everyday wear, you'd find me like on mostly, you know, ASOS. We love us a good ASOS. Again, fast fashion. Give us some high-end fashion, because I got money to spend. But recently, probably my find of the week was I don't know if you know RAQ, Rack. They've got swimsuits.
Oh, yes. I'm well aware. Their campaigns, their photos, their swimwear. Oh, they've been on my yep. list for a while. Yes.
Plus-size ladies. I got sent some swimsuits from Rack. And you know what? Yes, it's giving.
It yes. gives
color. It gives, fits my boobs. It yes. gives high-waisted with a little booty pop. It's giving. It's giving everything that we ever need to have ever been given, which is all that body. So yes, RAQ, Rack. Look them up, swimsuits. I know summer's ending, but it's summer every day, really. You can just be, if I were you, I'd just put it on and walk past in a pool, or go yes. into go do a spa day and chuck on like a cute white linen shirt or no shirt, whatever you feel like, really. You could even wear the I may even wear the top as just like a top, like the actual
like a cute little yeah. crop top and stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Yep, that's how much it's giving. So that's my find, and check it out. Check it out.
Yeah. Oh, they have been on my list for so, so long. And it's actually
expensive and worth it, because yeah. we will pay for quality. Don't ever get mm-hmm. it. Who don't cater for us. We will pay for quality.
Yeah, abso-freaking-lutely. Yes. I would have to say my Fae Fat Friendly find of the week, I did collaborate with this brand, but I genuinely adore them and love them. I've worked with them for so long, and it's Modi Body. They have created this period underwear collection that is catered for all genders, and it's just how they've created this line of non-gendered period underwear is just so beautiful. And it's literally what we've been talking about. Like, they've clearly have been working with people from the queer community into creating products that's actually catered to them and not just, you know, chucking on a rainbow just for shits and giggles because it's pride. Like, I get so pissed off with that. Like, as we've been saying, like, when people just, you know, do tokenism with Black people or with plus size people, I see this so often with brands. They just do tokenism of chucky on a flag when it's Pride Month and...
Oh, God.
Done.
Just be better. Be better.
Yes, be better. Anyone can do a rainbow. Anyone can do a rainbow. But yeah, it's just so great to see that they actually clearly collaborated with the queer community, because with the non-gender collection, like, I have the long line shorts and it has an option so you can add packing to it. So if you're a trans if you're a trans or a non-binary person, that's just everything. That's everything.
You do it right. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. If you got to do it right. And it's also size inclusive, which is amazing because,
of course,
trans people and non-binary people come in all shapes and sizes. So, of course, it's still important to be size inclusive.
Amazing. Shout out to them.
Yeah, really, really, really do appreciate it. Like, I know I've been sponsored by them before, but this is just from a business perspective and also as a queer woman myself, like, just seeing them actually do the job right, because they just want to obviously from a business perspective it's great, but also as well they want to properly cater to the audience and cater to potential customers from the queer community. It's just it just gives me a little bit of hope, which is nice. Gives me hope.
It's underrepresented. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do it right, you're doing it right, and shout out to you for doing it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Betty, for coming onto the podcast. I'm very keen to chat with you again at our live show coming up in a couple of weeks. Listeners, if you need more details, head on over to the show notes and also check out Betty in the upcoming runway shows.
The Urban Oasis show, as well as the FAT show. So, yes. And actually just walking around, because I'm literally looking at my calendar and there's so many places, so many events I want to go to as part of Fashion Festival. So it's hard work, people. Get in there, look at your calendars and see which one you're going to make it to. But also outfits, yes, fabulous.
Yes.
We can't wait to see you for sure.
Yeah, there's just going to be so, I'm just so excited. And this is my first trip to Melbourne as well. So I'm just so keen to see the Melbourne fashion, the Melbourne scene. It's just going to be so great.
I mean, us Melburnians, we just bring it all. And you get ready. You're going to be hit by so much fabulousness that it's going to take a minute.
I'm already telling my partner, I'm just like, can we move to Melbourne? And I haven't even been there yet. And I'm just like, I know this is going to be my place. This is going to be my place. Yep.
But yes, Fashion Festival. Yes. And thank you so much, Demi, for having me. And keep up the great work with your podcast. And hopefully I can be on here one day again soon. But yes.
Oh, honey. You'll come after the live show. You're definitely coming on the podcast again. We have much, much more to discuss. But thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into today's episode. As we said, if you want more information about the Melbourne Fashion Festival, head on over to the show notes. Give Betty a follow on social media. If you want more fashion, if you want more gorgeous face and poses and modeling, head on over to her Instagram. And yes, thank you all for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed it, please give us a rating, a review. We appreciate all the support. I will see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
We at Fatinize pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.